Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
Exhort and to encourage one another and to study the word and to meditate in it and learn the scriptures. That's all essential. But Jesus is alive. He's a living, breathing God. And you need to have a living, breathing relationship with him. And we want to talk about that today because it's you can read about it all you want, but when it's you and that the situation that you're in looks like very challenging, and you're not sure how it's going to play out, and you cultivate an intimacy with him in the midst of what you're going through. You hold on to what he said, and you worship him, and you grow close to him, and you experience his presence in your life. You begin walking in the reality of God's love for you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at that. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, starting in verse 18, I want to encourage you in this. If you want to experience the reality of Christ, remember, he's not a doctrine. He's not a church tradition. He's not a written book. The Bible is a written word of God. Thank God for it. Jesus is the living. He's the living word of God. He's the living expression of God. And he wants to have a living relationship with you. He wants you to know his breath. He wants you to know his heartbeat. He wants you to know his touch. He wants you to know his peace. He wants you to experience him in every area of your life. So what I want to encourage you as we begin is to begin setting time aside regularly to get away with Jesus. Just you and him. Turn your phone off. Don't look at the clock. Get alone with him and just behold him. Just worship him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Hallelujah. When you behold Jesus, you're going to see who you are. Your true identity, as we said in the last series, is going to rise to the surface. You're going to realize who you are, what he's called you to do, his plan and purpose for your life. As you behold him, it's like looking in a mirror because you are recreated in his image. You are made new in the likeness of God. I like this word behold here. And from the dictionary, go back to the etymology of the word behold. It's very powerful. It means to hold thoroughly, to absorb, to keep in your memory. Behold Jesus. Absorb, meditate on, think on. Soak with Jesus. Just soak in Jesus. Behold him. What do I mean by that? It's very easy. We were just saying before the broadcast started, you know, we're beyond halfway through the year of 2023 already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Time goes fast. Mm-hmm. And it's not difficult for a week to zip by. I don't want to waste my time. I want to get the most out of every moment. The way to get the most out of every moment is by giving time to him. I'm not talking about a religious obligation. I'm talking about you soaking in the presence of God regularly? What do we think on when we're experiencing Christ, when we're spending time with God? I want to give you two things to think on as you get away with Jesus. Number one, think on the person and ministry of Christ. He's the same as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Keep that on your mind, the person and ministry of Christ. And number two, the promises of God. Keep those things on your mind as you're spending time with him, because he will speak through to you through those two things. Because those two things reveal his will. And every promise has been fulfilled. Every promise is yes and amen to you. Jesus is the reality you're looking for, and in his presence is fullness of joy. What would you look like if you were overflowing with fullness of joy? It's time, isn't it? When we spend time in his presence and keep our minds stayed on him and thank him and worship him, then we begin to act like him. Mm-hmm. The joy that's in him begins to rise up in us. That's why thanking him for little things as you go throughout the day will bring you into the reality of who he is and who you are. I mean, little things. I just running errands is a great one.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Something you go to get somewhere. It's at the store, the store you chose to go to. Or the gas in your car, or you got to get something done, and things come together in a certain way. Learn to be sensitive to the goodness of God
in your life. Yes,
it's amazing.
It. Recognize it.
Yeah, you just had a good dinner or a good breakfast, or man, that muffin was. Thank him for it. Begin to thank him. This will bring you into the total reality of his plan for your life. Just learning to be thankful. And we could learn to be critical. We can all learn that in the world, right? Criticizing others. What's that little text thing? SMH, shaking my head.
It's
easy to shake your head at people, right? We can. But you know what? When you're shaking your head at people, you may as well just shake it at yourself too. there's no profitability. There's no edification in that. Rather, why don't you give thanks for that person? Say, Father, I thank you. You made them in your image, and you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Thank you, God, for your spirit in us, leading and guiding us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way, for the light of Christ inside of us. This is how we come into this total reality. We keep our minds on the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, on the promises of God, and we cultivate this thankfulness, you know, as we're going throughout our day.
Hallelujah.
We want you to know that Jesus is perfectly relevant to every dimension of you. Mm-hmm. He's not out there somewhere that doesn't have much to do with your day-to-day activities. He's relevant. He's as more relevant than anything else could ever be to your right now situation. Mm-hmm. He's the one you've actually been looking for. Mm-hmm. He's the one that deep down inside of you, whether you realize it or not, there is a insatiable desire to know him. And many try and fill it with other things, but until you come to him and realize he is what you've been looking for, he is who you've been looking for, he's how you've been looking for, he's why you've been looking for, he's everything you've been looking for, until you realize that, you're never going to be truly satisfied in life. This is the total reality we want to bring you into, where Jesus becomes your all in all, your everything.
I love that verse, Joseph, that you started with. Two words really sticking out as the glory of the Lord. We're beholding the glory of the Lord.
Yeah,
that's not anything that we really say. Maybe Aunt B said it on Mayberry. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an old-fashioned word.
Yeah.
But it is a something for us to look at and consider. Yeah. As you say, look at the person ministry of Jesus. It's saying, look at, behold the glory of the Lord. This is just one aspect of the Father. Yeah. And how is this going to happen in our lives, that we go from glory to glory? By the Spirit of the Lord, again, in that acknowledgement of him working in our lives. I like the Message Bible in this, and then we'll go on. It says we're transfigured when we do this, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Amen. That's a promise. You said, look at the personal ministry of Jesus and the promise of God. So as we behold him, you know that. What you look at is what you become. That's a principle so true in life.
Absolutely.
So as we look at Jesus, we become more like him and we reflect the glory of the Lord himself. Amen.
God is not holding back on you at all. He gave his whole self to you when he gave you his son. But sometimes we hold back on him. We haven't given our whole self to him. You can only experience God to the level that you appreciate God.
That's so good.
It's so true. We can only experience God to the level that we appreciate God, or to the level that you consider him important. Mm-hmm. To every area of your life. Now, some maybe consider God's important if I want to get to heaven. But as far as today and all the stuff I got to get done and family stuff and relationships and
work. You said that. You said he's relevant to every aspect of your life.
Everything.
Your calendar. Your purpose.
Yes.
Your daily tasks. Your identity.
Yes.
Your finances.
Yes.
Your relationships.
Yes.
He's relevant to all of these things.
He's relevant to everything you do at work each day. Mm-hmm. Fellowship with him as you're going through your workday. Talk to him, worship him, thank him. I'm telling you, acknowledging him, thanking him, talking to him all throughout the day, it will transform your life. Mm-hmm. It will bring you into a reality that your heart is longing for.
Yeah.
Proverbs 3 says this, acknowledge him in all your ways, verse 6. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, it's not hard. We've all done it. But to just, we get into a routine. We know what we have to do. So we get up at a certain time. We do the things we normally do in the morning. And our job requires certain things of us. And we get into the routine of doing those things every day. But if we're not cultivating this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, we could end up losing sight of his plan. And we could end up putting up limitations to God in our lives. Mm-hmm. So as we're cultivating this, help me to say this. I'm talking about you trusting God in every area of your life. I'm talking about you getting alone with God. When no one around, you getting alone with God and just laying before him and just worshiping him and praising him. Why do we worship and praise him? Not because he wants us to, not because he's insecure and would like some affirmation from us. No, it's for our benefit so that we can see him as he is, so that we can raise our estimation of him higher. So we can lift up our appraisal of who he is. So we can set a higher value on who he is and what he's going to do in my life.
We sang a song, Worthy One.
Yeah.
Worthy just means worth it.
Yes.
You know, so we have to decide that God is worth my attention in the area of my identity, for example.
Yes.
He's worthy of, you know, my identity.
Yeah.
That means he's worth giving attention to. But I assign that. Mm-hmm. I assign whether he's worthy or not. You know, of course, the Lord is worthy. But I have to agree with that and participate in my life. I have to decide he's worth getting him involved in these areas of my life. Yeah.
So what we do, we end up kind of building limits around ourselves. I'm going to give you a funny example of this. The first year of our marriage, we were living in Europe, and then we came to the States. And we got an apartment on a little island in the Northeast, in Narragansett Bay. Mm-hmm. This island was about 15 miles long and 5 miles wide. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay? And it was really interesting. So we lived on the south end of the island, and we drove to the north end of the island for church. There were three little towns on this island. the south town, the middle town, and the north town. Mm-hmm. And when we got to church and they learned we drove from the southern part of the island to come to church, they're like, what? Guess, do you remember how long of a drive that was?
20 minutes, maybe?
It was like six point something miles. And to them, that was a journey that was worthy of, you know, praise. Wow. You drove 6 miles, you know. But what happens with us as people? We get used to the boundaries of where we're living. Mm-hmm. We get used to the limits of the things we're listening to. We get used to seeing things a certain way. This is what one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is in us. This is the reason he is fire. This is the reason God said, Jesus instructed his disciples, don't go anywhere until you're clothed with fire. He will blow the doors off of your limits.
Hallelujah.
We see this from the beginning of the Bible to the end. God is continually blowing the doors off of what we
Hallelujah.
Think is possible.
I love it.
And I want to do that today. So this is what happens, because if you get into this routine of, you know, working 9 to 5, going to make a living, mm-hmm. you get into that routine and you just start letting your mind go with the flow of the daily routine, you're going to end up missing what God has for you, because he wants to do so much more than what your daily routine is telling you. He wants to go beyond what you do Monday through Friday. He wants to do more in your life. He wants to prosper you more than any paycheck you could ever earn by trusting in man. He wants to bring his heavenly provision in your life. He wants your body to be whole. He made provision for that through his son. He wants your mind to be sound. He wants your emotions to be prospering. In every way, he's provided this for you. So what happened is the people lived on this little island, and that was their world.
That's right.
5 miles wide, guys.
Right.
And that was their world. To go from one end of that island to the other was a major feat.
Right, right.
But we see that everywhere we go. No matter where we live, it's the same kind of thing. People get in this little mindset of where they, you know, the routine they go through each day. Mm-hmm. They go from point A to point B to point C to point D and back home. They go from point A and they get in this. But God wants to blow the doors off of your routine. And I want to give you an example of this. We're going to look at, the disciples had routines. Some of them were fishermen. And I want to look at God just blowing the doors off of the limitations of their routine. And let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Come on, what's possible in your life?
See, that's good.
What's possible?
These people on the island,
yeah.
They were driving their car. That was the vehicle,
yep.
But the car could only go so far. So,
yeah.
but we know this in the natural, there are bridges.
Yes. Yeah.
You can take your car across a bridge.
Yeah.
There are boats. You can cross that water and go anywhere you please. There are planes.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what we're saying. Jesus is about to say, there are other ways.
Yes.
He's about to say, you need to think beyond just where your car can go.
Yes.
And we're going to see that. I love it.
So limitations are developed in our thinking by what we choose to believe and to consider important, and by what we choose to look at. Now, here's a situation. So Jesus calls 12 men to follow him, and many women followed as well. And there was a 12, the initial 12. There was the 70. The 120, and went on from there. Yeah. Okay, but getting to the original 12 disciples, so they're not, he calls them, they've left everything and they're following him. And they're going from place to place watching him blow the doors off of their thinking. So people are coming up and laying down maimed people before him. And those maimed people are being made whole. People who are missing arms now have arms. People who couldn't see can now see. People who were lame are now running and leaping. People who had no food have more than enough. People who had no money are now prospering. Jesus brought good news to the poor, deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. He brought all of these things into the earth, and he did it in ways that were beyond the limitations of human thinking. And why did he do that? Because he wants us to think like God thinks. We were made in his image, not to be a lower, struggling something. We are made in the image of God to fellowship with God, to walk like God, to think like God, to talk like God. When parents have a child, it looks like them. Well, that's what a child is. We're the children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. So here are these disciples, and Jesus just fed the multitude, blew their minds. All they had was a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. And Jesus feeds thousands of people with this something that wouldn't even feed the 12. And they have a ton left over, baskets left over. Then Jesus, I'm going to start in Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto a mountain, here's what I'm talking about, apart to pray. He got away to be alone with his Father. And Highway family, I want to encourage you to do that. Man, I tell you, it's just a religion without that. It is. You can study the Bible all you want, go to church all you want, but if you're not getting alone with your Father, it's just a religion. This is a living, breathing relationship with a living, breathing God. It's time to get alone with him and let him be God in your life. Let him blow the doors off your limitations. Let him show you who he is. Bask in his presence. Get alone with him. Sing to him. Thank him. Meditate on who he is. I say, Father, reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. I give my whole life to you. So Jesus, he sends them away. They were to go to the other side because God had called them to preach and minister over there. But he stays and he gets alone with his Father. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It was being tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus was at point A, and he needed to get to point B, and there was water in between him. But that doesn't matter. Why didn't that matter to him? Because he spent time with his Father. When you spend time with the Father, you won't try and solve things with the wisdom of man anymore. You'll listen to what your Father has to say, and you'll act on that. So he sent them, get this picture now, get on the ship. Was that his transportation that just pulled away? Get on the ship.
If you have limited thinking.
Limited thinking. So they're out in the midst of the sea. He goes to be with his Father. But Jesus, how are you gonna get up to the other side? He's not concerned about that. Why? He wants to hear from Father. What's more important, your method of transportation or being alone with your Father? Come on, what's more important, the projects you have to get done or being alone with your Father? I'm telling you, this is in me stronger than it's ever been before. What's more important, your future plans or getting alone with your Father? It's time, Highway family, to get alone with your Father. This is where your healing lies. This is where the answers to your everyday issues lie, in the presence of your Father.
That's good.
Even the ministry
that Jesus was doing that day, you know, you might say, well, serving other people is important. But even that, it says that he dismissed the crowds.
Yeah.
He said, that's it. Time's up. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Jesus said, right? He said, you can't stay here. And he dismissed the people.
Yeah.
So don't let good things drive you either where you're not.
That's right.
Climbing the mountain to meet with the Father, Jesus demonstrated.
And listen, that's just where he was at geographically. Just you don't have to go up a mountain. Just close your door. Go in your bedroom. Close your door anywhere. Anywhere where you can be alone with him, okay? So there he comes walking on the sea. Are you imagining what that would look like? Put yourself in the ship with the disciples. Now, remember, many of these were professional fishermen, so they were experts on the sea. They did this daily, year after year, week after week, month after month. They knew the seas. They knew ships. They knew how to read the water and how to get from point A to point B across the water. Imagine what they must have thought when they see what looks like a person coming towards them, walking on the water that they fished in for years. That would not even compute if they're not meditating on who God is.
Yeah, the Message translation says they were scared to death and said it's a ghost crying out in terror.
Absolutely.
It's a ghost.
Sure. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, you're getting that right. This is impossible, guys. you right? He's walking on the sea. Right? God wants to do things in your life that'll blow your mind, but you got to give him your heart. You got to stop thinking like the world thing. You got to love him. Give him your whole self. Come on. Let's let God be God in our lives and stop trying to figure everything out. The Bible's full of this. God just showing up, doing things, and just like, wow. So what God wants to do in your life is so far beyond what your intellect can figure out. Let go and let God be God in your life. So, yeah, they're troubled. And they say, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. There's 12 men, some of them professional fishermen, crying out in fear for what they see. Why? It defies their limitations. It's different than anything they've ever seen. They've worked in the sea. They've fished in the sea. They dropped their nets in the sea. They fixed their nets in the sea. They pulled fish out of the sea. They've fallen in the sea. They know what happens when you hit the water. And here comes someone walking on the water, and pew, fear comes out. They should have been celebrating. Hey, here comes Jesus. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. And the Lord said, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I wonder what everyone else was thinking. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, sorry. And Peter drowned. No. And immediately, without hesitation, God's not going to let you be upended. God's not going to let you be put to shame. He will come through for you.
Amen.
Even in the midst of your failures and mistakes, he will come through for you. Immediately, no hesitation whatsoever. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He would have drowned if Jesus didn't do that. He caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Jesus asks a question, soak it in, because there's life in that. There's powerful, divine, resurrection life in every question he asks. Do you want to get well? He asked another person. There's resurrection life in every question he asks. Why did you doubt? Why have you spent so much time letting the way things work in this world build walls around your thinking? Why have you not given your thinking to God? How we doing, everybody? Why'd you doubt?
I think we might have skipped 27. I'm not sure. When you were reading through there, it says in yours.
Oh, yeah, I think I did. I think I did. Yes, I did. Thank you.
I think
cried out
really
in fear,
great.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to read that?
Yeah. So do you have it in the message?
I have
you want
it in
to read
the message?
Go ahead.
oh, it's okay. It says, but Jesus was quick to comfort them when they were terrorized.
Yes. They cried out in fear, and again, immediately,
and I like
straightway.
Yeah. He says, courage. He just speaks in message. Yep. He says, courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. I like this version that you have here, too. Want to read that?
Yeah. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
It is I. Be not afraid. That's before Peter spoke to him.
You know, this reminds me of what we came upon last week when we were looking at the man born blind. And you'll have to go back and listen, but we were encouraged to look to see in a situation, not whose fault it is, not look down here and around here, again, limitations, but in this situation, ask, what can God do?
Yeah.
What can God do? And here Jesus is in the middle of a very terrorizing moment, and he identifies himself, and he says, it's me. It's me.
Don't be afraid.
In other words, I'm here. So what can I do in this situation?
Yeah.
And I just love that. So whatever fearful thing that you may be in the middle of that came up suddenly that you didn't see coming or you never expected, don't get down on yourself how did I get here? Don't go there. Instead, allow Jesus to do in your life what he did here for Peter. Identify himself. I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Mm.
Don't be afraid. I'm here.
That's so good.
And see what water you and he can walk on. Amen.
Come on.
Glory to God. I like it too in Message when Peter's walking on the water and then he, sinks, begins to sink. Jesus didn't hesitate. Same thing. He's right there. He reached down and grabbed Peter's hand and he said, faint heart, what got into you? I love that. Faint heart, what got into you? And again, not assigning blame and not looking for whose fault is this, but he's right there in the middle of a situation of sinking, of drowning, and he grabs us and he says, what got into you? I'm here. Don't be afraid. Now let's take a look at what you're looking at, really.
You never have to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Or embarrassed
when
Jesus asks a question.
No.
Why? He's not there's no condemnation ever in his voice.
So good.
Ever. And he gets back into the ship, Peter and Jesus, and the wind ceases.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am telling you, we're halfway through the year, but let's give God the rest of the year. Let's get alone with him. See, fear cannot stay in your life when you are regularly spending time with the Lord, hearing from him, receiving his love for you, being refreshed by his spirit. Fear just can't stay. And I know this is for all of us. Spend time with the Father. Don't wait for things to change in your life. Get along with him now. Just make time, regular time with your Father. And just be in his presence. Think on the person and ministry of Jesus, the promises of God, and worship him and ask him to reveal himself to you. And forget about how long it takes. Just be alone with God. So many believers are missing out on this life-transforming privilege we have to experience total reality with our Father every day.
This is reminding me, Joseph, of the word. I was in a church service recently, and as ministry was happening, the Spirit of the Lord was making aware to me on the inside, not saying I heard something with my ears, but on the inside it was very clear. And that word was that divine supply is coming to the body of Christ. Divine supply is coming to the body of Christ. I believe that speaks to impossibilities, that which we require in our situations is available to us. It's available to us, and it's coming by a supernatural divine supply that will exceed all limitations that we see. And so that is available. I felt the Spirit of God was encouraging the body of Christ to say it is available. Divine supply is coming to the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that is the supply that's able to break limitations, supply that's able to cause what is you think to be impossible to now be possible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God, we're going from glory to glory as we begin. Hallelujah.
You think maybe Jesus could have figured out, found another ship or maybe waited till morning or
come on.
When we rely on this instead of this, we miss out on the glorious things God wants to do in our lives. God wants us to live with our heart by our spirit. And our intellect is a tool, but it's not what's to lead us. And you will see God doing this from Genesis to Revelation, doing things that are beyond what we can figure out with our natural intellect. And Highway, he wants to do this in our lives.
Yes.
The next 6 months, the last 6 months of this year. And I believe this is for all of us now to really let God be God, to get alone with him and realize this is the greatest privilege in the world that I can spend time alone with fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, divine provision. Wow, this is so good. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing. It's July right now, and we're going to go through July getting to know our Father, letting him show us what to do in each situation, not trying to fix it ourselves, but getting wisdom from heaven. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it all throughout your Bible, and a lot of times it's not what you would do. It's not what you would figure out with your natural intellect. God will lead you to do things that require trust in him. The righteous live by their IQ.
No,
the righteous live by faith. What's that? That's betting your life on the unseen realities of God. It's trusting in him with your whole life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, we give you our whole lives. What a waste of time it is to live life without being intimate with you. We don't want to waste any more time. We don't want to just go through the 9-to-5 routine. We want to know you more every day. That's what our life is all about, knowing you more every day. Lord, I lift up this Highway family. I believe that you are drawing attention to this. You're emphasizing this and this halfway mark of the year. Because I know you want to do things in our lives that are going to blow our minds, that we couldn't figure out, that we couldn't accomplish with our own strength, with our own wisdom. You want to do things in our lives by your Spirit. So, Father, help us to get alone with you regularly, just like Jesus did when he was on earth, to pull away from the day-to-day stuff, from the demands of others, and just be with you, to get to know you, to know your touch, to know your voice, to know your spirit, your direction, your wisdom, to learn to walk and flow with your presence in our lives.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want to play religion. We're not interested in trying to be goody-goodies and trying to get to heaven someday. We want to know you now. We want to experience you in everything we do. And it is time. This is the day for that. You have made that so accessible to us just through believing. And we worship you and love you, Father. And thank you for intimacy with you. Thank you for blowing the doors off our limitations. Thank you, Lord God, for leading us to do the things Jesus did and greater things than these. We thank you, Lord God, that we will go from point A to point B by your Spirit. Hallelujah. And point B to C and D and E and F and G and all the way through to the fullness of your plan through trusting you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. I wanted to put this out there as well. I was contacted this past week by someone who lives in the, Hoosick Falls, New York. I believe I'm saying it right. Hoosick
right on
Falls,
the border of Massachusetts, yeah. The western border of Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's Hoosick. Hoosick Falls, New York. Like it's okay, Hoosick, aha, see? And zip code 12090. But they're looking for a highway home group. If you're in the Hoosick Falls, New York area, and you're part of Highway Church, you're tracking with us online, you're worshiping with us on Sundays and the Bible studies, and you're a part of what we're doing, would you contact us on our website page? Just go to highwaychurch.us and fill out the contact form and let us know, hey, I'm in the Hoosick Falls area. Hoosick. Who's it? Who's on first? Hoosick Falls, New York area, and we'll talk to you and see if you guys are interested in maybe connecting and growing in a word together. But so wanted to let you know that. And you know, anyone can start a highway home group. Anyone can do
it. That's good.
Anyone. All you need is really just to be worshiping with us, get a hold of this message of the goodness of God, and then invite a friend to enjoy it with you. It's like so simple. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, all you need is an internet connection, and it's life changing. So hey, maybe you want to start a group. Maybe you want to move to Hoosick, New York, and start a group. I don't know, but we also have someone in the San Francisco area looking for someone in the San Francisco area who has a highway home group. So let us know if you're out there and you're following us and you're watching. Maybe it's time to start a group in your home or invite a friend over in your apartment and just start encouraging one another. Start praying together and see what God can do. See what he can do. He's so good. We want to invite you to partner with us. Go ahead, sweetie.
You mentioned prayer. Yeah. Pray together. That's one of my favorite parts about getting together with these Highway Home Network homes. It's just fantastic to pray. Yeah. And we have the capability to receive your prayer requests, and we encourage you. We're talking about doing impossible things. We're talking about taking the limitations off. And if you just need help to believe God for what seems to be an impossibility in your life, please fill out the prayer request. You'll see the button there on the live platform. Mm-hmm. If you're there with us today. If you're not with us, we encourage you to go to highwaychurch.us and join us there from the website on the live platform, and you'll be able to put your prayer requests there. We want to agree with you. We want to see God do the impossible in your lives.
Yes.
And there are people that will pray with you and commit to see God work in your situation. So we want to encourage you to do that as well.
And right now we're in the Tulsa area, Oklahoma, and we're looking to do some pop-ups in the weeks ahead.
Yes.
If you'd like more information about that, go to our homepage, highwaychurch.us, and just scroll down and you'll see it there. And you can just send in your information, and we'll keep you on the list. And let's bring this thing to its climax and worship God with our money.
Amen.
We invite you to partner with us. We are proclaiming the simplicity of Christ, who he is and what he's done for us and who we are in him. And it's such a privilege to do it in the day we're living in, to set people free, to bring them into wholeness, to let them know what does Jesus require of you. Just believe. Just believe that he is who he says he is, that he loves you with all of his heart, and that you are who he says you are. That you are a new creation in him, that you're his child, that he has a plan and purpose for your life. It's just trusting in him. It's so simple. So we invite you to partner with us and worship with us through our website, highwaychurch.us. Go to the give page, and you can become a regular giver to this ministry. You can create a reoccurring gift, or you can give a one-time gift, or just give as you're led throughout the month. you see the information there on your screen and also on our giving page. You can also text in the amount you'd like to worship the Lord with to 508-502-7733, or you can send a check in the mail to our mailing address, our P.O. box, and make the check out to Highway Church. And we're agreeing with you. We're believing God for our lives and the ministry God's called us to, for the needs to be met powerfully. We're also believing God with you and agreeing with you mm-hmm. for the needs of your life and your what you're called to do and your family being met powerfully. So let's do that right now. Mm-hmm. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ,
Hallelujah.
The one who walks on water and, and who recreated us in his image to do the same thing.
Hallelujah.
And Father, we worship you with our money.
Yes.
Lord, what a ministry you've given us. This Highway Church is something special. It's just as the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of trusting him, of just walking with God, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Father, I thank you for meeting the needs of this church and ministry and every member of this Highway family according to your divine provision. We thank you for your divine provision flowing into our lives like never before. Father, we thank you for it. You made your Son Jesus poor that we might be rich. It is your blessing that it's upon our lives, and your blessing makes wealthy and rich and adds no sorrow to it. So we thank you, Father, for mortgages paid in full, automobiles paid in full, debts paid in full, and supernatural increase, transfer of wealth, treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, the wealth of the wicked coming to us because of this glorious grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We bless you, Highway family. We love you. We thank you. And hey, this upcoming Wednesday night, new Bible study happening with this lady right here. Jennifer is going to be blessing you big time with a Bible study coming up. I think it's called Take the A-Train.
I think it is now.
We're talking about the rapture of the church and end time events. And it's going to be awesome. This Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live. We'll see you there. We love you. God bless you. See you soon. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.